The Senate will come to order. Would all senators indicate their presence by voting? Would the secretary take the roll?
The roll shows 19 members present.
Our chaplain this morning is Pastor Bryce Gwynn of the Church of God.
Lord, we come to you today believing that you are with us, that your word says that if two or three would be gathered in your name, that you would be in the midst. And as we are gathered today, let your divine will be in our lives. Help us to be mindful of your ways. Help us not to be consumed in our own lustful desires to outdo one another. We have not come together to be overbearing in our own thoughts and desires, but we have come to decide what the mind of the people would be. Your word says, put on the mind of Christ, and so let this be done in our lives and decisions. In Jesus' name we pray to our Heavenly Father that your will be done. Amen.
Secretary, note the presence of Senator Tillion. Certification of the journal.
I wish to certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 101st legislative day.
Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I move the national journal for the 101st legislative day.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, it's ordered. Introduction of guests. Senator Ferguson.
Mr. President, I'd like to introduce a constituent from my longtime friend and known, Glenn Chambers, in the Bar Galley.
Senator Bradley.
Mr. President, I'd like to introduce five dentists from the greatest city and the largest in the great nation of Alaska. Would you stand, please, as I call your name? Dr. Fell, Dr. Redmond, Dr. Wright, who we all know very well, Dr. Myra, and Dr. Rick.
Of course, Dr. Wright, as Representative Wright, sir, you have the privilege of the floor. We welcome you to these chambers again, sir, if you have any remarks.
No remarks.
Senator Ziegler.
Mr. President, we have a high-quality crowd from America with us today, three gentlemen from the lower 48, and these gentlemen I work with very closely in the Western Conference, and it really is a pleasure to have them here today. First of all, Jerry Norris, who is the Western Region Director of the Western Office of the Council of State Governments, and with him is his field representative, Tom Anderson. The third gentleman is Carl Tubusine, who is Assistant Director for State Services in the National Conference of State Legislatures, an organization with which we have just affiliated. Welcome to Alaska.
Any further introduction, guests? It gives me pleasure to introduce to you my Anchorage manager, the manager of my Anchorage office, Joan Stoll. Messages from the governor.
Message of April 19. Dear Mr. President, I have signed the following bill and am transmitting the enrolled and engrossed copies to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for permanent filing. House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 440, making a special appropriation to the University of Alaska Arctic Environmental Information and Data Center for disbursement to the Alaska Eskimo Whaling Commission to assist voluntary efforts to ensure whale stock viability. Chapter 34, Session Laws 1978. Sincerely, signed for the Governor, Lowell Thomas, Jr. That is the only message from the Governor.
Messages from the House.
Message of April 19. Mr. President, the Speaker has extended powers of free conference to the House Conference Committee considering House Bill 780, Special Appropriation to the National Council on Alcoholism, Alaska Region, and Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 780 Finance, Special Appropriations to the Department of Health and Social Services for lump sum grants to alcoholism programs in the state. House members are Representative Parr, Chairman, Representative Cotton, Representative Urien. The President granted powers of free conference to this conference committee yesterday. Message of April 19, the House has passed the following and transmitted for consideration. House Bill Number 621 by Representatives Miller and Duncan, an act relating to unemployment insurance coverage for employees of the state and its political subdivisions and providing for an effective date.
Community and Regional Affairs and Judiciary. Entities. The Senate will come back to order. There has been a request by the chairman, co-chairman of the State Affairs Committee for an additional referral. Therefore, House Bill Number 621 will be referred also to the State Affairs Committee. That will be the committee of first referral.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 667 by the Commerce Committee, an act relating to insurance premium financing.
Commerce.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 668 by the Commerce Committee, an act relating to the Small Loans Act.
Commerce.
Those are the only messages from the House this morning.
Communications.
We have no communications.
Standing committee reports.
The Resources Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill Number 477 amended, sale of state land, and recommends that it be replaced with Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 477 with the same title and a majority and do pass. Signed, Senator Poland, Chairman. Concurring, Senators Buttrovich, Sumner, Mieland, Huber, and Tillian. 477 has no further referral.
Rules.
The Finance Committee considered Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 795 supplemental appropriation to the Department of Community and Regional Affairs for Fairbanks Town and Village Association for Development Incorporated, and a majority of the committee recommends do pass. Signed, Senator Sackett, Chairman. Concurring, Senators Homan, Croft, Mieland, Tillian, and Buttrovich. Senator Orsini signed, no recommendation. House Bill 795 has no further referral.
Rules.
The Commerce Committee considered House Bill 876, Minimal Electrical Standards, and reports it back as follows. Senator Bradley, Chairman, and Senator Hackney signed do pass. Senator Ray signed, no recommendation. House Bill 876 has no further referral.
Rules.
There are no other standing committee reports.
Special Committee reports.
Free Conference Committee report, April 18, 1978. Mr. President, Mr. Speaker, the Free Conference Committee, which has considered House Bill 780 and Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 780 Finance, recommends that Free Conference Committee Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 780, making special appropriations to the Department of Health and Social Services for lump sum grants to alcoholism programs in the state, effective date, be adopted. Signed, Senate members, Senator Homan, Chairman, Senator Hackney, Senator Coletta, House members, Representative Parr, Chairman, Representative Cotton, Representative Urien.
Senators will recall that this conference committee report was submitted yesterday and I believe distributed to all senators yesterday. Senator Homan.
Mr. President, I would move that the Free Conference Committee substitute for the Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 780 be adopted.
You have the floor, Senator.
The only change in the Free Conference Committee forming the bill over the bill as it passed this House is to reduce in Section 1 the appropriation to the National Council on Alcoholism, the Alaska Region, Inc., from $50,000 to $40,000. The purpose for that appropriation was to fund for the balance of the fiscal year. At the time the bill was introduced, it was anticipated that they would need funding from the end of March to the end of June. Because the bill is being processed now, a reduction of the $10,000 is seen appropriate. $40,000 is adequate. It was felt by the committee to meet these expenses until June. I would ask unanimous consent for the adoption. Okay.
There is objection, Senator Huber. We will have a roll call on this. We're treating conference committee reports as final passage. So there automatically will be a roll call on conference committee reports. Senator Huber, sir.
Mr. President, as
much as we need alcoholism programs in this state, various places, and apparently the place that gets the most money in this bill must need it the worst, I hate to rise in any form of opposition to it, but I feel that I must, Mr. President. The original House Bill 780, the remainder was for $50,000 to the National Alcoholism Alaska Inc. for alcohol educational program statewide, everywhere in this state. And I don't doubt it either. And contrary to what we were just told by Senator Coleman, the remaining amount in the original bill lapsed into the general fund on June 30th, 1978, not 1979. The present bill only allows $40,000 for this need that is statewide, but it allows $58,500 for one community that has a problem alone and $5,000 for another community that has a problem that we're all aware of that was unfunded. Now, Mr. President, the original intention was $50,000 and there was a lapsing clause, so the $40,000 really don't do anything because it would have lapsed anyway if it was going to lapse. It wasn't needed. Dates were right on. Mr. President, we have to spend $63,500 in special communities, most of it all in one community, the community of Bethel, in order to get $40,000 for the needed statewide use. Now, again, I object to doing business this way. I would like to consider the needs of Bethel for alcoholism, the needs of Petersburg, which we've already done for alcoholism, and this particular fund yet. This particular item, I don't need to raise it on that one. But, Mr. President, if we could consider these things separately instead of having to swallow the whole thing, that's what bothers me. So I have to swallow the whole thing in order to do a little bit of good, and I might want to look at each one of the others to see how well the programs are managed, especially when one small community needs $58,500, and the total educational program for all of the rest of the state put together, including that community, is only $40,000. I think it's a bad way to do business, and I'd like to be
in the meeting. Senator Croft.
President, I asked Senator Huber to reconsider that. The bill as passed by the Senate is almost identical to the bill that is presented by the Free Commerce Committee, except that Senator Homan indicated for the deletion of the $10,000 when the bill was originally introduced several months ago. It did provide $50,000 to continue the program for the rest of this fiscal year because of the fact that a considerable portion of that time has elapsed. I think they only need 40 at this point. The 58.5, by the way, for Bethel is not for operational expenditures. It is a capital improvement grant. It is to provide a sprinkler system there in Bethel. It is not operational money. The Petersburg money is operational money. But Bethel is to make sure that they have a sprinkler system in that facility. It is needed in order for the facility to be operational. And I would hope that he would reconsider. I do think all of the projects are necessary. I don't think there's been any effort to simply tack on a project or to impede the progress of the bill. I think all of these are desirable projects, and I do think that it would be a good idea to pass the bill intact.
Senator Huber.
Mr. President, I didn't mean to tell the body that I was going to vote against it. I just would like to do these appropriations more in line with what the original intent of the bill is. This was for advertising and for the educational program statewide originally. And I'm going to vote for the bill. But I don't like to do business that way. We're doing too much of that bunching on appropriations bill so that there's something in it, a little bit for everybody, so that nobody can vote against it. I don't think that we should have to do it that way. I think it's not the best way to do business, and this is just part of that protest that I've been making all year on this.
Is there any further discussion or debate? The question is, shall Free Conference Committee substitute for Senate Committee substitute for House Bill number 780 pass the Senate? Senators may proceed to vote. Have all senators voted? Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? The Secretary take the roll.
The
The roll shows 20 yeas.
And so, free conference committee substitute for Senate committee substitute for House Bill 780 has passed the Senate. Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I move the national consent for roll call vote on the passage of the free conference committee substitute for Senate committee substitute for House Bill 780. Consider the roll call vote on the executive block.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, it's so ordered. And so, free conference committee substitute for Senate committee substitute for House Bill number 780 with an effective date has passed the Senate.
There are no other special committee reports this morning.
Resolutions.
Senate Resolution number 13 by the Rules Committee by request supporting construction of a small boat moorage basin at Anchorage.
State Affairs.
Senate Concurrent Resolution number 102 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor relating to a direct investment by the state in the Alaska Natural Gas Pipeline Project.
Resources. Finance.
Senate Joint Resolution number 51 by the State Affairs Committee relating to the disposal of M1 rifles by the Department of Defense.
State Affairs.
Mr. President, very simple resolution. Just take a poor decision. I do ask now to consent the State Affairs be waived. Just go directly to the rules.
Without objection, it was introduced by the State Affairs. I assume our rules require one due pass would be the major reason for a referral. I don't know if you have such a rules vote or not.
Mr. President, you can send the State Affairs, please, under that circumstance.
The referral would be to State Affairs.
There are no other resolutions.
Senate bills.
Senate Bill number 597 by the Rules Committee by request for the Special Employment Resources and Opportunities Committee. An act relating to tax credits for employment of certain new employees and providing for an effective date.
Labor and Management, and I'd make inquiry of the Special Employment and Resources Opportunities Committee as to whether or not this has a fiscal implication, requires Finance Committee referral. The referral then will be only to Labor and Management. Do you wish a re-referral to your committee, sir? Labor and Management.
Do we have a fee?
Senate will stand at ease. The Senate will come back to order. Senate will come to order. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I would ask the Secretary to read the title of the resolution that was referred to a few moments ago.
The M1 rifles?
Yes.
Senate Joint Resolution number 51 by the State Affairs Committee relating to the disposal of M1 rifles by the Department of Defense.
Mr. Senator Rohde. I would move and ask unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and the SJR 51 be sent to rules, notwithstanding the fact that it does not have a yes vote or a one positive vote.
You have the floor, sir.
It's a very simple resolution. The State Affairs Committee has looked at it, one that would be entirely appropriate to come before this body within the next day or so.
Senator Ziegler.
This procedure is fine with me, and assuming that there is one due pass in the Rules Committee, I assure you it'll be on the calendar on Monday. It will be there tomorrow, but I'm grateful for crumbs.
I believe that under Senator Rohde's motion that he's moved to waive the requirement of a due pass, so it will go to rules. Should his motion prevail, it will go to rules for placement on the calendar, notwithstanding the absence of a due pass.
Senator, Mr. President, I'm going to object to that. We haven't conferred, so I object to it being set to rules at this time. Leave it in State Affairs, go to rules next. We have two bills on the same subject, and I'm going to clean up the material at the same time.
There is an objection. Is there any further discussion or debate? We have a motion before us by Senator Rohde to suspend the rules and send Senate Joint Resolution number 51 directly to rules for placement on the calendar. There have been requests for an at-ease. Senate will stand at ease. The Senate will come back to order.
Mr. President.
Senator Rohde.
I withdraw my motion. The chairman of the co-chairman of the State Affairs Committee have indicated that it will be coming out very quickly and it will be taken around today.
Without objection, the motion has been withdrawn. Next order of business.
Senate Bill Number 598 by the Rules Committee by request for the Special Committee on Employment Resources and Opportunities, an act relating to the granting of professional licenses under AS 8.
Does the Special Committee request a re-referral of that matter? Commerce.
Senate Bill Number 599 by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, an act relating to regulation of the sale of alcoholic beverages by municipalities.
Community and Regional Affairs.
Senate Bill Number 600 by the Finance Committee by request, an act relating to the legal school age for education of exceptional children.
Health, Education, and Social Services.
Senate Bill Number 601 by the Finance Committee, an act making a special appropriation for power and water projects and providing for an effective date.
Resources and Finance.
Senate Bill Number 602 by the Labor and Management Committee, an act relating to train crews.
Labor and Management and Commerce.
Senate Bill Number 603 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act creating the Alaska Gas Pipeline Financing Authority and providing for an effective date.
Finance.
There are no other bills this morning.
We have no data calendar. Unfinished business. Special orders. Senator Bradley.
Mr. President, I request a special privilege of the floor to comment on the Panama Canal.
You have the floor, sir, without objection.
Mr. President, it was a dark day in our history, Tuesday, and I just found out how the vote went. And I also, at my expense, called Washington, D.C., and I was told that a lot of those votes were gotten by the President blackmailing a lot of our senators. And I sure take a dim view of that. Several hundred thousand Americans reside in the Panama Canal Zone. And I have two friends that retired there after 120 years and 130 years, and they work on the operation of the Panama Canal. And we're going to throw those people to the wild dogs, so to speak, with no way to defend themselves, and they're Americans. And I'm so angry about this that it really makes me quite emotional. I just can't visualize how those people in Washington, when the polls indicate that 80-some percent of the people are against giving it away, they decide to give it away. And when I was in Washington 17 years ago, it was one of the most important links in our national security system. And there's no doubt in my mind it hasn't diminished one iota, militarily or economically. Not only are we giving it to Panama, the canal zone, and the canal itself, but we're giving away a lot of Americans that have their homes there. And I'm sure they're going to have to move out because they're going to be subjected to a communist dictator who took over 10 days after President Arias was elected by popular vote as president of that country. We bought that 10-mile zone with a few hundred million dollars from three native villages within the zone. And that's about as good a way and a fair way as you can own anything, Mr. President. And that most of this country we took by force from the Indians, or either we bought it from someone who did take it by force. Louisiana Purchase, the French and the Spanish, or Russia, Alaska, etc. And I just can't save me, understand how these things happen in Washington. First you have Korea, and then you have Vietnam. And I was in both. And in Vietnam, we lost 54,000 Americans dead. And I lost 32 in my battalion. And they should be alive today. And we wounded 300,000 plus, 120,000 remained for life, one leg, one arm or so. And we have to take care of them the rest of their life. Partially so. And we spent $140 billion down the drain. And we made airfields over there that'll make the airport in Anchorage look silly. They're so superior. And build hospitals, part of nation building. and factories. And I just don't understand what Washington is doing to us. And D2 is another thing, and there are many other things. But to stick to the subject, Panama, we have an intelligence station there, the only one we have for collecting intelligence, information of any enemy forces that may be in Central and South America, and we're losing that. We only have two bases in all the Caribbean, in Central and South America, Guantanamo Bay and Panama. And Panama is part of the United States. We bought it. We have it for perpetuity. And we're giving it away. And maybe I'm not very intelligent, but it seems to me that it's mighty stupid. We're the only country in the free world that can defend the free world, and if we give all our strength away, even we won't be able to defend it. Now, I was up at the American Security Council two summers ago at Boston, Virginia, where a lot of former ambassadors and former Chief of Staff of the Air Force, Army, Chief of Naval Operations, former Chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff, and a lot of chairmen of boards of directors of big industries, semi-retired or retired, give their time freely. They are very patriotic, they're concerned about the security of their country, and they told me 2 years ago that within another year, at the rate we were going, that we wouldn't have parity, we would be the number two military power in the world. And as soon as the imminent enemy had enough edge, they'd stage another Cuban crisis, a confrontation somewhere in the world, and we won't have strategic nuclear superiority then. We did have it. We didn't have it in the Cuban crisis. We didn't have more people in uniform, more artillery tubes, more ships on the surface, under the surface. But we had one thing that counted most of all, and they weren't so sure we weren't going to use it, and that was strategic nuclear superiority. Well, we don't have that today. We don't even have parity. And now we don't even have the neutron bomb in production. We don't have the B-1 bomber. We're giving away Panama. And this disturbs me. I don't think most civilians in this country that are busy making their bread and butter, and it's understandable, realize how bad the situation really is. All the Russians have to do, and that's the imminent enemy, is when they get the sufficient edge, they'll make us back down. And you know what the Americans will do. We don't want to be wiped out. They've got better civil defense than we have, and they've got better offensive and defensive weapons and more of them. And we'll back down, and they'll do whatever they want without firing a shot. And I don't think most people believe that. They don't know that can happen. It's as real as anything in the world. And now we're giving away Panama. We have more troops in Panama than the Panamanian National Guard. And they're half trained. I've got it firsthand. They couldn't fight the way out of a paper bag. And we've been intimidated. And we've been intimidated out of a good portion of the world, and more of it's getting read every day. And we are paper tiger. The only way we can say anything and back it up is to be militarily strong, and then they'll back down. And we aren't even that anymore. I take a dim view from two of our congressional delegates that said the president called just about every senator up there in his office sometime or other, over to the White House, or he went to their office, and he said, well, we want to appoint a federal judge here or that, or we won't do this or that. And he swayed a lot of votes. And I think that's a pretty traitorous, treasonous thing to do for the President of the United States. 480 former generals, chief of staffs, admirals, chairman of joint chiefs of staff said, we can't afford to give it away. The present chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff and Secretary of Defense, both Browns, say we should. It's indefensible. It's not needed. Well, that's the most stupid comment I've ever heard. If they'll pardon me for saying so, but I believe it, so I have to say it. They work for the commanding chief. If they want to hold their jobs, they better say it. That's why when generals and admirals retire, they write a book and tell the truth. And they never do before. And I talked to one at the American Security Council in Boston, Virginia, And I asked his former chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff, I said, sir, when you write a speech and give a speech to the public, can you put in it what you want? And I was sure he couldn't. He says, no, it has to be checked through the Secretary of Defense and the White House. And I can't say anything that would embarrass the president. So even though I know we're inferior this way or that way, I can't say it. The people should know it, because it'll embarrass the president. Well, I think the people should know it, and then we should do something about it. Most of our military ships can pass through the Panama Canal. Only our big aircraft carriers. Well, that's proponents of it. And since we have such a small navy there, we might have to shift it from ocean to ocean. And it takes a lot longer to go around the Cape Horn. And whatever the average ship is, I've read where the average ship, it costs five times more to go around Cape Horn, much less taking a lot more time. I don't know what we're going to do about Washington, Mr. President. I'm worried about Alaska, but I'm not near as worried about Alaska as I am the country. And those people are doing us in up there. When the polls indicate the people don't want to give it away, and they seem to know more than they do up there, they do it anyway. I guess I've said enough. I could talk for hours on it, but I've read so much on it, and I've checked out a lot of it, that I know my information is valid, but it happens all the same.
Mr. President.
Senator Cotulla.
I don't wish to debate the Panama Canal position. This is my responsibility. But I well remember we should be extremely careful not to suggest that the president is being treasonous or anything that compares to treason. You know, one of our great heroes, one of my great heroes, is Harry Truman. And I remember very well in 52 the extreme dialogue of people on the other side suggested that he was treasonous in every way. I think we should be very careful in letting our debate with the decorum of the Senate drift that far that we start calling the President of the United States treasonous with nothing to back it up. I regret it. And I also resent it. This is one American to another.
Senator Pratt, did you wish to reply, sir?
Yes, Mr. President. As MacArthur said, the President is a temporary occupant of the White House, and it's not always the best man that gets the job. And I think you know it, and I know it. It's not always the best man that gets this job. And I have a lot of respect for President Truman, that Senator Cotulla just mentioned. I respect him because he said the buck ends here and he can make a decision. But he was wrong, too. Also, by reading between the lines and not believing everything I read, it seems like everybody else was wrong except President Truman. He criticized a lot of people. And he went into Korea without the United Nations support, but he didn't want to go any further without their support. So we bombed half of the bridge across the Yayu River, only the half on our side of the river. And I was there, and I've seen so many Chinese coming at me with one little skeletonized platoon that I wasn't even tied in on the right or the left with, and they told me to hold at all costs. Well, thank goodness in this country they won't shoot you for disobeying an order. I had my route to the rear well reconnoitered. I wasn't going to sacrifice that platoon and my life for stupidity. There's no way you could win. It's better to withdraw and reorganize, and when you're strong enough, win. In this country, whose industrial potential, mass production potential, we don't even know. We never did mobilize to an egg a day and an orange a week like Great Britain. We've been more prosperous during our wars than any other time. We could have won that war and lost almost nobody. The same in Vietnam. But because of Washington and bad decisions, we have a lot of people dead. For what? For what? Nothing. What did we get out of Vietnam? I fought because I thought we'd stop communist aggression. We set up trade agreements and get some of that money back and make another Japan or Germany out of it. I disagree with you, Senator Cotulla. Just because he's a president, he's no better than any other citizen. Because he is the president, I'll respect it, and I'll call him Mr. President. But if he's wrong, I'll tell him he's wrong, and I think that's what we have to do. And I hope they tell me I'm wrong when I'm wrong.
Senator Huber.
Mr. President, I'd like the privilege of the floor to comment on Senator Bradley's remarks.
Without objection, you have the floor, sir.
Mr. President, I too take violent exception to his remarks about the presidency of the United States. However, I wished to associate myself with his original remarks on the subject other than that. And Mr. President, I'd like to answer one question that Senator Bradley raised. He did ask us a question in the beginning, and that is what the people were thinking, what we were going to do about senators who are not doing the will of the people. And Mr. President, that is not only true in Washington, to a lesser extent, it's true on local government and in our state government. And I think we should all take a good look at our hold cards when we think that we are so much better informed than the public that we are serving, that we know in our hearts we go against their will. I think that we better take a good look at it, and there should be very little excuse for ever doing it. And the answer to his question is that the public of the United States of America and of the state of Alaska and the other states are certainly going to have to take a closer look at all of us and see that we are doing their will or kick us out.
Any further special orders? Announcements? Senator Orsini.
Mr. President, the Senate Committee on Regional Affairs Committee will meet at 3 o'clock this afternoon. We'll be taking up and hopefully passing out Senate Bill 533, an act relating to planning for public facilities. We'll also be taking a look at the coastal management guidelines and regulations recently adopted by the Coastal Policy Council to see what they contain and how much in accord they were with the committee's original concerns. Mr. President, under announcements, I have from the federal government the simplified guidance for understanding the federal consistency requirements of the Coastal Zone Management Act. The simplified guidance is a mere 18 pages, which explain one paragraph in the bill. In that regard, Mr. President, I might note that the state of Washington, according to an April 16th newspaper, has taken the state of Washington Department of Ecology has taken the federal government to court on the suit over this issue of the federal consistency provision of the Coastal Zone Management Act and the interpretation by the Federal Department of Commerce of that act. Thank you. I have this copy available if anybody wants it. Get it while it's in the play.
Senator Sackett, were you seeking the floor, sir?
Finance at 8.
Finance meeting at 8 o'clock in the morning. Any further announcements? Senator Sumner?
Mr. President, I see Senator Croft is not here at the moment, but I think we had a free conference committee considering Senate Bill 159 scheduled at 3 o'clock today. I'd like to announce at 1:30 in Senate Rules Conference Room, the Senate Employment, Resource, and Opportunities Committee will meet considering Senate Bill 538, New Jobs Tax Credit, Senate Bill 537, Appropriation to consider job transfers, and Senate Bill 555, business loan appropriation for next fiscal year.
Senator Holman.
Mr. President, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from the call of the Senate on May the 11th and 12th.
Is there any objection to the Senator's request to be excused from the call of the Senate? Hearing none. Be excused, and the Secretary will so note. Senator Holman, you still have the floor, sir.
Yes, sir. I'd like to also request a Judiciary Committee referral for Senate Bill 474 and House Bill 809 related to the practice of dental hygiene.
Without objection, the Secretary will note that to be an additional referral. It will be, I suppose, at the subsequent to the referrals already made.
Yes, sir.
Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from the call of the House tomorrow, April 21st.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, it's so ordered. Secretary will so note. Senator Ray.
Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from the call of the Senate tomorrow, April 21st.
Yes.
Is there any objection? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Secretary will so note. Senator Ray, you have the floor, sir.
Announcement, the Senate members of the Transportation Committee will meet immediately at 5:30.
Any further announcements? Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, two reminders, the Weekly Republican Convention will feature Commissioner Burton, Ms. Sally McMillan, and all members are invited to a film showing at 11:30 in the House of Majority Caucus Room. The film title is Alaska, a State of Women. This is part of the International Women of Year Alaska exhibit in Houston. Mr. President, I move that action and this consent to the Senate adjourn from 10 a.m. tomorrow.
Hearing no objection, it is ordered.